Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in Matthew chapter 2. So one beautiful day, four high school boys decided that it was just too good of a day to go to classes. And so they skipped out. Around noontime, right after lunch, they came back to school, reported in. They went to their teacher and they said to her, "You know, we missed class today because we had a flat tire. We couldn't make it." And to their relief, the teacher really didn't get upset with them at all. But she just kind of smiled at them and said, "Okay, but you know what? We had a quiz this morning. And so, you know, we need to take care of that. We need to make that up. So why don't you get out a piece of paper and a pencil and we'll take care of that right now." And so they did. And again, as they were preparing themselves, she was just standing there smiling at them. And when they settled in, they were ready. She said, "Okay, first question. Which tire went flat on your car?" That little story is somewhat reminiscent of our text for today. You know, the boys were trying to pull something over on their teacher, which was unsuccessful. And so too, Herod was trying to pull something over, which was unsuccessful. But Herod was really quite unprepared for what he was facing. Because it was not really the wise men, but it was God himself. And it was God, then, who in the end warned the wise men not to go back to Herod and report to him, but to go by a different way. And you see, that's really what's going on here. This story is a story about God, not so much about the wise men, but it's a story about God. Essentially, what we see is Matthew is setting up in conflict with one another, in comparison with one another, I should say, Herod and the wise men, and what each of them were doing. Let me take you back to last Sunday's gospel reading. And there you remember that Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple to present Jesus. And Simeon came and he took the child up in his arms. And then he said to the parents, he said, "This child is appointed for the rise and the fall of many in Israel." And what was spoken theologically in words by Simeon then is demonstrated in action in our text for today through Herod and the wise men. We might say that each of them are, in a way, typical of a type of person. So let's start with Herod this morning. Did you notice how he responded to the news that a king of the Jews had been born? Let's go back and look at that again, starting the first verse of our text. "Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born." So what was Herod's reaction? He was troubled. Why was he troubled? Because he was threatened. He was threatened by this news that a king had been born. And of course, that's exactly what history tells us as well about Herod, that he was a pretty ruthless leader. In the beginning of his reign, when there was some opposition to him, when it was challenged, he put those rebellions down quite ruthlessly to secure his own rule. And later on, we know that he became quite paranoid, and he was always suspicious of other people trying to take his power and his authority, so much so that he even killed one of his wives and at least two of his sons. That just kind of shows us what kind of king Herod was. And so it's not surprising then when we read in our text for today that when Herod got this news that a another king had been born, that he was quite threatened by that. And it's not surprising that all Jerusalem was also upset. Not because of the news that a king had been born, but because of the news that they knew would upset their present king. And that they knew that there was going to be consequences because of what Herod would do. And sure enough, if you follow the story down beyond our text for today, you see that Herod ordered that all of the male children 2 years old and younger in the area of Bethlehem would be put to death. That's the kind of thing that they were troubled about. But ultimately, we understand that the reason that Herod was troubled was because of his lack of faith, because he did not trust God. He was not interested in the reign of God. He was not interested in the presence of the reign of God. He was not interested in participating in that or fostering it or embracing it or any of those kinds of things. As a matter of fact, any kind of mention of the reign of God did exactly what our text said for today. It troubled Herod. It agitated him. And it spurred him into action. And we can see the same thing happening today for those who do not trust God, who do not have faith in him. They are going to respond in the very same way. Those who do not have any kind of interest in the reign of God or the presence or the coming of the reign of God, when they hear about these kinds of things, or the coming of God or God's influence in our midst, it causes them, just like Herod, to be troubled and to be agitated and even spurred into action to oppose what God is doing. And so it explains a little bit of what goes on in our world and the opposition to the church and the message of the gospel. But as always, it's important for us to read this passage, not just to understand our world, but particularly to understand ourselves. And so in a way, Herod can be typical of our own lives, or at least a portion of our lives. And so it's good and right for us to question ourselves if we in any way become agitated or troubled when we are confronted with the Word of God and the Kingdom of God in our lives. Because you recognize that is exactly what is going to happen in each of us. That as God's rule and reign comes to be within us, there is going to be a conflict that happens. A conflict that happens with our sinful nature. Because we in our sinful nature, quite naturally, want to be the rulers of our own lives. We want to do what we want to do, and we don't want other people telling us what to do. And the reality is that when God comes into our lives, there's got to be a new ruler, that he becomes the king. And we need to subject ourselves to him and his reign. And that creates a conflict. And we feel that. You felt that most certainly as you struggled with how it is that you live your life. That is not abnormal. That is normal. Because we are all born sinful and we all go through this. And this is the struggle of our lives. You know, who is going to be the one that leads in our lives? Who is the one going to be that we submit to? Is it ourselves? Are we there on the throne, or is it God? And so when we do feel ourselves struggling with this, when we feel agitated, when we feel troubled at the word of God and the reign of God, we can recognize it's a red flag for us, what it is that we are struggling with, that old sinful nature of ours. And it's opportunities then for repentance, to pray, God, help me. God, help me as I seek to be your faithful child and to do what is pleasing to you. Yes, I do struggle with these things and being obedient to you. And I know I struggle with those things, but help me. And we can begin to understand exactly what is going on in our lives and what it is that we are dealing with in this particular moment. and we can seek God, reconciliation with God through that repentance and his forgiveness that comes in our Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, then, in comparison to Herod, we have the Magi. And again, let's look at their response. It's quite different from that of Herod's, verse 9 and 10. After listening to the king, the Magi went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. How about that statement, huh? They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. You know, what's Matthew trying to say? It wasn't just that they were joyful. They weren't just happy. You know, this is beyond. This is great joy. And they rejoiced exceedingly. And why was that? Because God had revealed what he was doing. That God revealed how his kingdom was breaking into this world. And God was showing them when, where, and how this was happening. Dr. Jeffrey Gibbs, who is one of our professors at Concordia Seminary, wrote a commentary on Matthew, and it was really pretty interesting how he presented the Magi. You know, he notes that through all of the studies that we've done over all of these years about the Magi, we still really don't know too much about them or who they were. As a matter of fact, most of what we think that we know about them is conjecture. And so he notes, well, they certainly were not kings. And they probably weren't even wise or wise men. What we do know is that they were servants in one way or another of the king. And there's only one place in the scripture where Magi, one other place in the scripture where the Magi were mentioned, and that is Daniel chapter 2. And there they aren't even presented so positively either. Because there the king, Nebuchadnezzar, has a dream. And so he calls in his counselors, you know, these Magi's, and he asks them to interpret his dream, and they can't do it. So they're not portrayed very favorably. But, of course, Daniel comes in, and he is able to interpret the dreams. You know, there's the wisdom, true wisdom, that what comes from God. So they're not presented terribly positively in that other case. But then we come to our text for today, and they're not portrayed particularly positively here either. I think we afterwards think that way of them, but kind of look at the evidence of our text for today. What did they do that was so wise? Well, you know, they went to find Jesus. Well, why? Because God put a star in the sky and revealed it to them. And then they come to Israel. And they go to the wrong place. They don't go to the place where Jesus is. They don't know where he is. You know, they're kind of guessing at this thing. They come to Israel and they say, well, where's a king? Where are you going to find a king being born? So, well, naturally you go to the capital, right? But they go to Jerusalem and he's not there and nobody knows where he is. And so how do they find out where he is going to be? Well, they go to the scriptures. Again, God revealing something to them through the prophet. And then they set out. Well, as they're going to leave, you know, Herod comes to them and says, you know, do a diligent search, and when you find where the child is, come back and report to me so that I too may go and worship him. And it seems like they're totally duped. I mean, we read that story and we go, right, you're not gonna really believe that. But apparently, as you read the story, the Magi do. And they intend on doing that. They believe Herod. And so they are fooled by Herod. And the only reason they don't go back is because God, once again, reveals something to them. He comes to them in a dream, and he tells them, don't go back to Herod, but go home by a different way. You see what the point is, the point that Dr. Gibbs was making. And that is, it's not that the wise men were wise. That's not why they found Jesus. The Magi found Jesus because God was at work. Because God put the star in the sky. Because God wrote about it through the prophet Micah. Because God came to them in a dream. And yes, there was faith. That's the role of the Magi, right? And the faith. And that's in comparison to Herod, which we talked about already. You know, Herod has no faith, and so he's in opposition. He's trying to kill Jesus. But the Magi, they have faith. They trust God. They believe. They come from a far distance. And even then, when they can't find them, God continues to guide them. And they have exceeding joy. Why? Because of what God has done to bring them to this place. And you see, that's what God wants to communicate to us in this text today. Because it's the same for us. Just like the Magi, we don't find Jesus because we are wise, or because we have talent or ability, or we're special. We find Jesus because of what God is doing in our lives. Because God has revealed himself to us. I don't know what the guiding star in your life is. And the reality is God uses all kinds of things to get us to where we need to be. And for each of you, it's going to be a different story. How you got here. How you came to faith in Christ. But it's God who is at work. But there's one thing that I do know that's in common in each and every one of our stories, and that is that God uses the scriptures, because that is the one thing that is reliable, that is certainly reliable. You know, there's a lot of things that we question, you know, what's going on here, and, you know, we may attribute it to saying that's God. Okay. But the one thing that we do know for sure, while everything may be questionable, is that God's word is sure. And we can trust that word. And that word is always going to tell us the truth. And that's the thing that we all have in common. And that's the thing that binds us together. Jesus Christ and his word to us. And this is what we celebrate. We celebrate it in the story of the Magi coming to Jesus. And we celebrate it in our own lives today. And so we rejoice with exceeding joy today, with exceeding joy, because this is really a pretty amazing story. You know, again, as I said at the beginning of the service, isn't it amazing that some guys, we don't even know if there's three of them, right? The only reason we say three is because there are three gifts. But, you know, here are these Magi that come from a far distant place we don't even really know where. And you see, those details are not important. But what's important is that God is at work, and he's brought these people who were so far off, who, you know, just, how did they know about this? How did they get involved in this story? And it's really pretty amazing, a pretty amazing kind of thing. Because it starts out as a local story, right? We start out with the birth of the king of the Jews, a particular people. We start out with Mary and Joseph. And, you know, we read these stories, particularly as Luke and as Matthew tells us, and it's really a very local story. He's the king of the Jews. But is that all? Well, you see, with this story then, the whole thing explodes. And it goes from a local story to a worldwide story. Because people who are way far off, who really you would think have no business knowing this or couldn't possibly know what's going on, all of a sudden they're brought into the story. It's because of what God is doing. And then we take it down to ourselves and we rejoice today because we are like those Magi. Yeah, how in the world did you ever get into this story? How did you ever get connected with Jesus? You know, something that happened so long ago in a local place like Bethlehem. And yet here you are. That's just amazing. It's amazing to me that I'm included in this story. And that for each of us, And so today, along with those magi, we can rejoice with exceeding joy because we have been included. And that's the big story of our text for today. That those who are far off have been brought close. Like Paul talked about in our epistle reading for today. Those who are far off have been now included. And so we too today can come along with the Magi, and we lay our gifts at his feet, and we rejoice at what God has revealed to us and is doing in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.